encourage each other as the opportunity is given to us. We get to make our choices as we live our lives upon this earth. God's blessed us with that free will to choose what direction we want to go, choose whether to obey or to disobey the commands which He has given to us. And in many cases, with people upon this earth, we like to choose the easier path. When things come down to it and certain things, often when you get the choice of a matter of situations, too often, many end up choosing the easier path for that simple reason. It's easy. And it is the easy path to take. It's not difficult, and you don't have to do a lot of work. Therefore, you choose that path. That's what I want to talk about for a short time this evening. Just got a couple points this evening as we talk about this point for the lesson tonight. We need to consider the choices we make. So within that, the first point tonight is to look at, the point's not going to come up to the end probably, but the easy path leads to destruction. Easy path leads to destruction. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, if you open up your Bibles and follow along. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. You read there with me, it says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is a way of death." And here once again, talking about that easy path, it seems right sometimes. And therefore, you don't want to question. And what makes it seem right is the fact that so many are doing the same thing. And when so many are doing the same thing, it just comes down to that same point of why question it? Because, I mean, it must be right. It must be the right choice to go along with when everybody else is doing it. It makes it easy because you're just going with the flow. You're going along with what everybody else is doing. And the easy path seems and sounds real good. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, you read along with me there in verse 3. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." So once again, we look at this way that seems right, but the end is destruction. And once again, here in 2 Timothy 4, it's telling us that there's going to be a time, there is a time now, in which many are turning away from the truth, is what it says. They are turning away from the truth. Because nowhere in the Bible does it say following the truth is easy. But they turn to the truth so that they can listen to others who will tell them what they want to hear. Or looking for someone to please their ears, to scratch their back. And they're able to find such teachers. They're able to find these false teachers, and they fall aside to these fables. Once again, the easy path is leading away from the truth. It's leading to destruction. In Genesis 3 and verse 6, we look at the first temptation. We look and see why it is Eve would choose this path. Genesis 3 and verse 6. We look at the serpent tempting Eve here. It says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," it was simply easy because she was there already. When she saw, and she saw that it was good for food, that now, that unto her understanding, she's not going to right away physically die, is what the serpent is doing. You won't surely die. That's not what exactly he meant. That it was pleasant to the eyes of the tree, desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. It looked wonderful. It looked pleasing to one's eye. And once again, we look at the easy path today, the path that so many choose. It looks good. When we talk about false teachings, when we talk about denominations of the world, and we talk about these false religions, and the fact that they make it look good to the world. They go ahead and add a gymnasium to the side of the building. They add a fellowship hall for eating and get-togethers and gatherings. Once again, I brought it out this morning that my family had got together for Thanksgiving and played some sports. Now, I enjoyed the food also. I believe we've enjoyed getting together and enjoyed eating with each other and enjoyed just having that more time of spending time with each other. That's not the focus of why the church sees. That's not the focus that we see that was given for the first day of the week. That wasn't the focus that God had in mind. Now, He wants us to be good to one another. He wants us to consider each other. He don't want us not to go out and hang out with each other outside of this church building. But when it comes to the work of the church, when it comes to why we give upon the first day of the week, this is the reasons. When we bring somebody in the doors, when we strive to go out and evangelize to the people of this community, we're not supposed to be just bringing them in for the things that look good, but because the truth that we're teaching. Because that should be good enough. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Here it makes it clear what the easy path does. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Here it says it's wide, and it's broad, it's an easy path. It's an easy path. And it says many, many enter in by this path. Because it's just so easy. And since so many people are doing it, it's easy to go with the flow. So, yeah, that's what we look at in Jude and in verse 7 as it speaks of Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, you're talking about the entire cities here. And as they gather together and doing evil, everybody is doing it. So why not participate? In Jude and in verse 7, it says, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these have given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh and set forth the example of suffering the vengeance of eternal life. I mean, when we go back to Genesis and we read about this, and we see who it says, this is all the men have gathered together to do carnal things to the men, strangers who had entered into their city. They had all gathered together to do wrong. Too many decide to follow the path. Too many choose to continue down that wrong path. Going back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Looking towards the end of the chapter here, verse 26 to 27. It says, but everyone who hears these things of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Once again, looking at just the things that appeal to our eyes, and just going along with the flood. And just simply pleasing other people. Just getting along with the family and the relatives. Not wanting to start up anything. Once again, we're supposed to live peaceably with all as much as depends on you. Understand, the Bible doesn't say anywhere in it that this path of following our Lord and Savior is going to be easy. It goes forth and makes mention that the easy path leads to destruction. It's going in the wrong direction if we choose the easy path. I know a preacher, and he uses this point quite often. He says, to go to hell is the easiest thing to do. All you have to do is stand here and do nothing. You don't have to do a single thing, and you have a path to destruction. Because if you're not keeping the commandments of God, if you're not willing to confess your faith and willing to stand for your Lord, willing to keep His commandments, then you're on a path to destruction. Because there's more to it than just thou shalt not, but there are thou shalts. That you should keep His commandments. So that's going to be my next point tonight, is that the path that we need to follow is difficult, but it's rewarding. It's difficult, but it will be rewarding as we follow our Lord and Savior. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, one thing we need to understand when we consider the difficult path is that there's only one. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 4 starts off saying, there is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you. Here it makes it plain and clear that there's only one path to follow, because there's only one God who sent His only Son, who's the only one who ever died for us, who sent the only Spirit to come down and reveal the Word for us, in which we can only be baptized in. There's not another Savior, there's not another baptism, there's not another teaching. That is the truth. That will save you. There is only one path. So therefore, if we believe what the Bible says, that means we can't believe what other men are teaching. We can't believe when someone teaches something that goes against the Word of God. That is a different path that's leading to destruction. That will lead to the destruction of their souls. In Luke 9 and verse 58, Luke chapter 9, go ahead and start up in verse 57. Luke 9, verse 57. It says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that some said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who were at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus is telling him, count the cost. Here he says, who will follow me? There are those saying, I'll follow, but I got other things that I got to first take care of. They were putting in front of the work that God was sending them to do. Jesus started off, count the cost. Saying, if you're going to follow me, consider this. Consider it now. It says, animals have places to go to sleep. Foxes have their holes, birds have their nests. But I don't have a place to lay down my head. Making it plain and clear. Even though if we were to survey and look at statistics on who believes and has a faith in a Christ Jesus, you're going to get a high number out there. But if you're going to ask how many teach and only follow the commands that are in the Word of God, in the Bible, it's going to drop significantly. We need to understand that if we're going to follow Christ, we're not going to be saved. Not everybody's going to like what we have to say. In John 15 and verse 18, John 15 and verse 18, it says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Makes it clear. Jesus makes it clear. The world hates you. And the world will hate you if you follow me, if you teach what I teach, if you truly become a disciple of Christ, making his teachings your own teachings, following in his footsteps, then you will be hated also. We need to understand. Matthew 5 and verse 11, once again, making it clear. Going through the Beatitudes, and he finishes this up with, blessed are you if you are persecuted in my name's sake. Blessed are we when we are persecuted. You go to James 1 where it tells us that rejoice when we are persecuted. It's just in the mindset that we know that we're following in the footsteps of Christ and we're likely to be hated and persecuted just like he was. Not quite as bad as he was, though. We certainly don't face being thrown in prison here. We don't face being scourged and beat and crucified. But we will be persecuted. And we need to realize that. We need to understand that when we make that decision. But the reward is there in the end. In Matthew 7 and verse 24, you go back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and here talking about the wise men building his house. We already read about the foolish men. You read here going up to verse 24. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded. Now, the only reason I can think that someone built their house on the sand, or, you know, the beach, the ocean, you know, good view, and enjoying having that in your backyard, and going, but there comes a price in doing so. There comes a price in living in such an area. As we've seen in recent natural disasters, the hurricanes coming in and destroying houses and destroying cities and simply anywhere that's along the coast. But it says, when you build your house on rock, it will stand. We're supposed to apply this to our faith. We're supposed to think what this means. Is that Jesus being our rock, if we build on him, we build on what the apostles have given us, the foundation that has been laid, Jesus being our chief cornerstone, then that will stand. You have to continue to build. You have to continue to be strong. You have to continue to add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance. We're supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of the truth. We have to be willing to do so. And the reward will be in it. We will continue to stand. We'll be there in the end. Same here in Matthew 7, you go up to verse 13 and 14. We read verse 13. Go ahead and read that again. It says, enter by the narrow way. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Once again, bringing out many go in the easy path. Few even find that difficult. I think people realize what it says there. It says, you will find it. It doesn't even say how many ends up staying on the course. Even fewer are going to stay on the course. Few who actually search it out and find that truth. But it is there. And the reward will be reward will be there. It leads to life. The promise that God has made to all who are willing to keep His commandments. That He will always be there for you. He will provide for the necessities as we've talked about in Matthew 6 and verse 33. We talk and go to Revelation 21 to read about how heaven might look like and think how beautiful it's going to be. We can remain faithful till death. We will receive that crown of life as we read in Revelation 2 and verse 10. But you have to be willing to make that choice, and the choice is yours. And we'll leave that choice up to you tonight. Extend the invitation that if you're here and you understand the truth, it is your choice. And I understand that it is a difficult choice once again. That's what we'll talk about. It's difficult to step forward in front of a bunch of people, come forward and admit that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm telling you, it will be rewarded. Everybody here will rejoice with you. Angels in heaven will rejoice with you. If you're willing to make that confession, if you're willing to be baptized into Christ and wash away your sins. We extend the invitation to any who desire to come forward and whatever we can do for you. We'll let it be known as we stand and sing.
Who will follow Jesus standing for the right, holding up His banner in the thickest fight, listening for His orders, ready to obey? Who will follow Jesus, serving Him today? Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply, I am on the Lord's side, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in life's busy ways? Working for the Master, giving Him the praise. Earnest in His vineyard, honoring His laws, faithful to His counsel, watchful for His cause. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? Master, here.